Mine just didn't want to work, so I had to go into a different way. Sorry.
We see you now.
There you go, poor guys.
Pull up the agenda, and Larry, you can kick us off whenever you're ready.
Okay, well, let's begin by welcoming everybody to the August 10th board meeting for the Power District Public Infrastructure District Number 1. Do we need to do a roll call?
I think we're good.
Sort of why there's only the three of us. I'd like to make a motion to approve the December 15th board meeting minutes.
I'll second
Second.
that.
Awesome. By way of casting a vote, let's vote on it then. So, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? Let the record show that the meeting minutes from December 15th have been approved. I'd like to turn the time over now to Ben Byes. He'd like to make a presentation on an RFQ or RFP for a municipal service bond advisor.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to share a document I sent you guys previously, the Inland Ports RFP they did for financial municipal advisor. So I use that as my template. I made some changes. Really, the purpose of this meeting is just so we can talk about this without breaking any open meetings laws. So, I left most of it the same. I just made some cleanup and some simplification of this one. So again, this would be issued so that we can get someone under contract as we're working on a agreement with between Larridge Miller and UFair and the Fair Park to do some development of Fair Park land, which would involve some bonding. So we'll want a municipal service advisor around to help guide those discussions. So I'll just kind of go through this document. I can go as slow or fast as you want. I'll point out maybe some of the changes I made to Inland Ports document, and we can go through that. So background purpose statement, again, the two things that we're looking that we'd want to finance through this PID right now they're talking about would be the new animal barns, which would be financed through tax increment revenues. There would be a tax sharing agreement between UFair and the Power District to fund those. The second would be a multi-level parking garage that would be financed through sales tax revenues that UFair has, again, that would be pledged to the district to build that. So communications and question answer period, pretty straightforward. And this just says that they have to be done during a certain time. They have to go through so my plan or my thinking was that we would use Division of Purchasing to do a courtesy posting of this. I think that's the best way to get it out. We can let contacts in the world know that it's out there, but then question answers can come through that system that they use. I think it's called Bonfire, and then whoever we'd like can be in charge of answering those questions, and they would be available to all people that are looking to answer this RFP. This is pretty straightforward, just standard language. I don't think I changed any of this from Inland Ports. Scope of work, we're looking for registered municipal advisory firms that work closely with obviously this group, as well as underwriters that they would help us get under contract with bond counsel to obtain some bonds. Just kind of general scope of work. Again, this is pretty generic for any sort of PID bond issuance. Looking for a cover letter, some information on their firm, answers to technical questions, and their cost proposal. The way this would be done was they would submit those first three items as one file and the cost proposal as something second. We would score the first three and then consider the cost as a separate item, just so there's no influence on that cost on the technical scoring. This just goes through what we're looking for in those three sections. Again, I didn't really change this from Inland Port, so it seems like that RFP served them well. And it should be good for our purposes as well. Mandatory minimum requirements. If there's anything else that you have in mind that you would like to add to these, happy to talk about that. They must be registered with the MSRB and the SEC, demonstrate documented experience, serving as MA on rated and non-rated bond issuances. Just a note on that. That is a slight change I made. The tax increment bond that we look to do for the Barnes would be a non-rated bond issuance, most likely. That just means it's going to have a higher rate. Doesn't have the same sort of security of repayment as you would get on a rated bond. I think we can get the rated bond for the parking garage just because of the surety of those sales tax revenues that UFair's getting. So I want to make sure that they know that we'll have each and have experience with each. I don't think that should be an issue with the big MAs that typically are handling these type of bond issuances, but I did want to make sure that there's that differentiation. This is the technical criteria. The criteria, I believe, is the same for the scoring as what Inland Port did. I did change a little bit the weighting of it, but it's broken down to these three, or sorry, just let's see, five areas. The firm and team qualifications, the bond structuring and strategy, pricing and negotiation expertise, experience with tax increment and revenue bonds, and then RFP management experience. And that's the only one with the different possible points. I didn't think that was as big of a deal. We would just lean on them a little bit to help us as we do additional RFPs for underwriters, trustees, other vendors like bond counsel. But it's nice to shove some of that work off onto them, especially since this is none of our primary jobs. But if we can have them do that, that'd be great. So any questions on technical criteria? Any thoughts on point values there?
No, I think your waiting list good, Ben.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. It's all irrelevant or relative to a point, right? Whether it's 500 or 10.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Good. I did change a little bit on the cost submission guidelines. Well, I think this part's probably the same. Separate document. Oh yeah, so this is where I did it. So typically, what's done is they'll just do a cost for a bond issuance. That'll be paid out of bond proceeds, so no one will have to front any cost for that. I think there are some MAs that have some fees outside of that that could include just hourly rates for consulting services, a fixed retainer, other advisory work. So this does include the option to do that. I just made it clear that if they do propose any of those costs, that they need to include the expected hours for each of those tasks. And then we'd ask to, hold them to those costs so we don't get caught with, oh, we thought it was only going to be 10 hours and we did 30 hours and
Right.
now you owe us a whole bunch of more thousands of dollars. So That is a little bit different from the inland ports. I know that at least with the vendor they went with, they just did a transaction-based fee. If there are any fees beforehand, that's something that the UFAR could front. And again, we just probably do some fees, including the bond issuance, to repay whoever pays those upfront costs. So it ends up coming out of the bond at the end of the day. And then I made this one worth 15 points. So again, the other ones were 45 points total. So this would take us to 60 points total. And they just get the lowest proposed price, would get the full 15 points. And then depending on how much higher they was, it kind of just fewer points the higher they go. So that's a pretty established formula, I think, for RFPs is something like that for the cost. We do talk about they would need a minimum point value of 30 points to advance to the scoring portion of the RFP. So they couldn't be a really poor proposal and then have a really low price and get in. They would still need at least those 30 points to be considered on the price. I did have an optional stage three of 30-minute presentations. I don't know that we'll need that, but if there's vendors that we feel are very equal and we want to do that, we do have the option to do a 30-minute presentation there. If they want any information in their proposal protected, this lays out the outlines for doing that. We make an award. We would ask them to agree to the standard terms and conditions. UFAIR has some that are based almost exactly on the state of Utah's. So probably just modify those and change the name on that. But that would ensure that we have some of those same protections built into all state of Utah contracts on the terms and conditions. And this just says we would, prefer that we keep those without any modifications. But if they do want any, this lays out the process for modifying those. And it says we can reject a proposal if we can't come to terms on their requested changes to the terms and conditions. Appendix A is just their claim of business confidentiality if they want to claim that. And then Appendix B just lays out how the cost proposal should be submitted. Again, it's a separate document. Any questions on that? Maybe just backing up. Our district policies allow for Larry to issue RFPs as the board chair. So the purpose of this meeting again is to work on this document, make sure we are all on the same page. At the end of the day, Larry is the one that can give the go or no go for issuing this RFP based on his decision alone. So it doesn't require a vote of the board to do that. Once we're feeling that this document's in a good spot, we're ready to issue this, which I think probably comes when we're ready to sign the master lease agreement, Larry. I don't know that we need to get too far ahead of ourselves on that. But once that's signed or is imminent, I think would be a good time for Larry to give the go ahead on that. Larry, if you'd like to assign me as the point person to work with purchasing on getting this posted, I'm happy to do that. But really, we just need your approval on a final document once we're ready to go.
Terrific. Yeah, I would welcome you if you would take the lead on that, right?
Great.
I'm directing all the questions. Is there a selection committee? Are all three of us on the selection committee so it's weighted properly?
That's a good question. That was my thinking is that we just had the three of us be the scorers for the RFP. But happy if there's a better way to do that. Happy to talk about that, but I think that probably makes sense.
Yeah, with just three of us, I think you've got to have an odd number, so that makes sense if you're okay with that, Andy. And then you'll be the direct point on questions. That's great. I noticed that the Inland Port RFQ actually had a provision there for best and final pricing too. Is that included in there as well? Or did we strike that?
I took that out.
Okay.
I see the reason for that. I also think maybe you just have make people give you their best offer right up front and don't play those games.
They're both correct, right? So, what do you think the cost of this bond issuance is going to be, and or this finance group? Is it a
Usually
percentage
it's
of the bond, or?
usually they just do a cost on that bond issuance. So and I can't remember what it is now. I want to say it's like 1 or 2% or something. Let me just check something real quick and give you a better answer. Those are pretty standard fees. You'll have the same thing with the underwriter. They'll have their cost of bond issuance that are going to be built into that. So I should have said 0.1 to 0.2%. So
Gotcha. That sounds better.
yeah. Yeah, that would have been a lot on we're looking at probably 60 to 70 million total in tax increment bond, and then probably 30 to 40 million in the rated bond for the parking garage. So I don't know that we'll do the tax increment bond all in one. In fact, we probably won't do it all at once, but this will get us the MA that can help figure the best way to time bonds as we're looking at a series of bonds for development at the Fair Park.
Terrific. I read through that Inland Port RFQ and I thought it was pretty detailed. It had everything you need to have, right? Who did they select? Are we allowed to, I guess we can talk about that. Who did they wind up picking to be the MA?
They went with Zions Bank
Okay.
on theirs. And theirs was a little bit different. They wanted someone that was under contract that their different project areas could use. So they just wanted kind of some that was already available and ready to go. If someone came to that, I don't know that they were doing it for a specific bond issuance, but as more as of having someone under contract if a developer or a community needed that, they'd have someone all ready to go.
Understandable. And I think you mentioned what, there's like 13 locations of Inland Port throughout the state or something in the
I
RFQ. I think it
think
mentioned
they're up to
something like that.
15 now. They just adopted one last
Wow.
week. So yeah, they've got a lot. I've talked with when they're going through this process, I met with one of the municipal advisors when they were here. Science Bank is one I know pretty well, and then there's another group that I've met with a few times as well. So I've got relationships with at least three MAs that I can make sure are aware of this RFP when it goes out. So I think we should have some good options to pick from.
Terrific. Can we review the dates again, or did you have that listed at the front?
I
Or...
didn't put any dates in it yet. So once we're ready to post, we'll probably give a deadline for questions. You probably give them a couple weeks for questions. I can review them ports and see kind of what they have. I can't remember what they had in terms of how long between each, but give them a couple weeks for questions and probably a month or so total for getting the proposals in.
So it's about a 6 week from launch day to selection date. Is that fair?
It certainly could be. Let me see if I've got Inland Ports handy real quick. I can see what they did. So yeah, if you think we ought to move that up a little bit, we can certainly issue it beforehand, especially if we are just gonna do something where we pay on a bond issuance, then it's pretty low risk
To move
to do it
forward.
beforehand.
Well, part of this process is also going to help us determine the amount that we can bond for. Is that correct?
To some extent, I think that really probably is more with the underwriter is going to be the biggest determiner of that. But they can probably give us some models to some extent. I don't know why this is not opening for me.
It looked to me like on their issuance
Wonder if
date
I.
was May 8th, and then their proposal, well, I take it back. It doesn't really list the actual date that it was announced, just the presentation dates and proposal due dates.
So how long do they have on the?
So they posted on May 8th. Deadline for questions was May 15th, which pretty quick turnaround. Proposal due date was May 23rd. And then it just says, if needed, interview and presentation with June
So they
17th.
only had more like 2 weeks, it sounds like, to get everything in, a week for questions, another, well, week and a half or something.
Yeah, they're moving pretty quick. It did
Yeah.
not disclose the
I think
announcement.
there was one potential offer that missed the deadline, so I don't know if it was a little bit quick for them or they just didn't get around to it, but that's a good baseline.
Yeah. That puts it, a month from now, that's right in the middle of the fair. That's kind of why I was
Oh yeah.
backing into it, right? And the availability.
I think we're probably at least a couple weeks away from getting the document signed, so we can certainly push to have this done after the fair. I don't think that's an issue at all.
Terrific. Otherwise, I think it looks great.
I agree.
Perfect. Well, like I said, I'll send this document out to both of you. Larry, if you just want to, make any final changes and give me the final thumbs up.
Okay.
Maybe what we ought to do, actually I'll just say, Larry, I'll have you decide on the final dates of issuance.
Okay.
I think that's your prerogative as board chair to do that. If you just want to give me the dates that we want on that first page there, when we feel like we're ready to issue that. You just give me a thumbs up on the final version of the document and those dates, and I'll work with purchasing at that point to get it posted.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Why not? This has been the year for RFQs for us and RFPs. I mean,
Good. You're an expert then. I'm sure Eddie, you're
am.
doing them all the time too.
Well, all the time, yep. It's old.
But no, I'm excited for this. I do have an off topic question. Do we have bonds in place to protect, defense and legal for the board members?
We don't, just because we were, when we set this up, we did it as a kind of an inactive district. There's a few things we probably need to do. We'll need to adopt a budget and get some of those things in place once we start being active. I don't know if that'll happen this fiscal year, in which case we do a budget amendment, or if
Yeah.
it's more like next fiscal year. So we will want to get like that. Are you just talking about like that, like crime and liability insurance?
Correct.
Yeah. We can do that pretty quickly. Do you go through local Utah Government's Trust?
I believe we do.
Okay, that's what UFair does too. I think they're the big one. There's another company I was looking at that. I was trying to get some quotes from them. They never got back to me, and so I went with that. I think that's what most municipalities and counties and stuff in the state use. So I definitely think that will be appropriate once we have a budget and are actually have activity in the district.
Terrific. I appreciate that information. It's just such a litigious society anymore that you have to have protection in place.
Yeah, it makes sense. I appreciate that reminder. And we will want to probably, there's probably a few other things I'm not thinking of right now that we'll want to do once we're actually active and are spending money out of this PID. But for the time being, I think we're okay.
Excellent. Well, I don't have any further questions.
Great.
Prepare that document, send it over, and then I'll just look at some dates and we'll go from there.
Okay, that
As you
sounds good.
mentioned earlier, it doesn't require a vote. It's more of an informal
Yeah.
more than
Yep.
anything.
Yep. It's all to you to give us the go ahead, Larry. So.
Let's do it. And with that, I'll take a motion to end the meeting. All
So moved.
right. Meeting's adjourned.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.